crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It is the Daily Talk Show, episode 184. Happy Friday, my friends.
Oh, there's a bit of a... pep in your voice. This is eve.
High energy.
This is eve of our first New York show.
Yep.
Well, we've got a whole weekend together before our actual show next week releases, but 185, I won't be on the other side of the world from you and I'll be sitting right next to you.
You're catching a flight in how long?
I'll be at the airport at this time in 24 hours. So 24 hours away.
Oh, really? So it's Saturday morning that you... that you're flying out.
Yeah, Saturday morning I fly out. I'm in this thing where I want to try and brainstorm with you today of ways that I can access the Qantas lounge because I don't have status. So, but I really want to get into the lounge.
Fuck status. No, fuck status. I've gone full circle on this. Bree and I were in where were we? In Croatia. And it turns out that we were on a Star Alliance flight, but for some roundabout reason, we couldn't get into the lounge. And I spent 2 hours, we got there really early, and I spent that 2 hours trying to get in on the phone to Lufthansa. And just like I was ropeable about like using Skype, speaking to supervisors. Had one supervisor say, "Are you..." It turns out that like I asked someone at Lufthansa a few days before because it was one of those code share flights and I said, "Will I have access to the lounge?" And they said, "Yes."
Yeah.
And then I get to the lounge and they said, "Oh no, you don't get access, sorry, with your status."
They're pretty brutal these days. There's no messing around. Like I remember years ago. So it's last flight I had to New York. To LA, it was 2012 and I talked my way into the Qantas lounge. Have I told you about how I got in?
No, I can't remember. You've done it a few times, I feel.
Yeah, well, this one, I thought it was a great idea because they actually give out like some of the PR team. I don't know if they actually do this anymore, but they have like card passes. So you can actually have this physical card that you take up and be like, "I've got an access for, you know, the lounge today." You know, it's just a promotional thing or someone in Qantas gave me this card. And so what I did was my friend told me about these cards and she showed me that she had one. And I was like, fuck, I'll go up and say that I've left my card at home. I was given it by the PR team and I'm really sorry, but, you know, I was in a rush this morning. And so I did that and I was so hungover just before the flight. I'd been out the night before and she said, "Yeah, no worries, sweetheart, that's fine." She was an older woman and she comes straight through. And so I went in and it was just perfect. A lifesaver. But I thought
the thing with Qantas is you get the sort of the motherly people who can will let you in. They're pretty easy on you.
I think if it's a young person, I think the young generation just like, "Nah, this guy's a flog."
Yeah.
Or we're on to you.
Absolutely.
So do you reckon I roll with that or I...
Yeah.
So...
I like that idea. I think what you could even do is extend it further, see what Qantas is doing with corporate promotions at the moment. So say, for instance... you could see if they're sponsoring any festivals. Like if it was Virgin, I'd probably say that you have some sort of ties with the footy clubs, like AFL, because they sponsor the AFL. But I think you just find out Qantas sponsorships, see what they're sort of sponsoring from a corporate level. Maybe do that. It's pretty It's a lot of work.
I know. Mate, it's not as much work as spending 2.5 hours because I'll walk up, try once and fuck off, go get a shitty latte from
It's not
out
worth
in the
it though.
Area.
But the thing is, you'll get a shitty latte in the lounge anyway.
I might get a smoothie, Josh. I might get one of the banana smoothies that they walk around handing out.
Yeah, I think the Qantas lounge is a little bit better than Virgin in a lot of ways.
International.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. I'm over the lounges. I don't care that much. Hey, we got a question on Reddit.
Oh yeah.
Which, you know, always promoting our Reddit, our subreddit, reddit.com/r/TheDailyTalkShow.
But if you do listen maybe six shows back, you won't hear us talk about it because it's only been a week. But it's actually...
And as Russ Keyes pointed out, it was very close to being Cora. And just like I went from speaking about Cora to a very quick tangent to Reddit, but yeah. I'm happy to be here. But the one thing about... Before I read this question... the one thing with Reddit is people have really weird usernames.
Mm, mm.
Very hard to work out who's talking.
Yeah, it's basically everyone who used to have a Hotmail account from when they were 13 has just taken that username and put it into their Reddit.
Because they're all doing seedy shit on there, I think. You know, like leaking nudes or something. Because it's got that Reddit's got that background as well. I think
it's got the vibes for sure. It's
not as filthy as something like 4chan, I don't think. But it's I think Reddit is sort of a high class version of 4chan, maybe.
Yeah, it's very bare bones, the interface. Like but like I said to people recently. I'd been taken there because there's some link that I just clicked on, but I'd never been there because I sort of wanted to or needed to be. Whereas like it is actually more enjoyable when you go there for a reason. And this is like if you haven't
sort
used
of like
Reddit,
a cafe.
Yeah, you enjoy the experience, but fuck! I tell you what, I'd never go there if I hadn't been asked to. Go down and get my boss a coffee.
The thing is, you go there for the coffee and you never expect to get the orange poppy seed cake. But you do it and you enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. That's good when you get there.
Yeah, but so we've got Enkiju writes, explain Wolf Wolf. It is literally in every episode and I have no idea what the meaning is. I remember that you explained it. It's in some of the first episodes, but I have no idea now.
Yeah.
He's from Slovakia, from memory.
Ah.
Wolf, wolf. So I'm going to go really like bare bones at the start. Wolf, wolf is me making the sound of a dog.
Yep.
Barking. Because like in different countries or languages, people like the animals sound different.
As in dogs? No, just different animals sound different.
No, like as in different people in different languages make the sounds different. Like so ducks aren't necessarily quack, quack. They might be akka, akka.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Thanks for that update.
So like it's like rough, 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 rough.
Roof, roof, be or woof, woof, woof. Or you don't say bark, bark.
No, but if people were to, if you were to explain to people what wolf wolf is, how would you explain it to them in regards to the context in which we're using it?
Well, I don't have the origins because that's over to you, but the context is if I was saying something like, mate, last night I benched 100 kilos, 5 reps, and you would say,
wolf wolf.
And that is because...
Yeah, so it's a show of masculinity, isn't it?
It's like I'm flexing masculinity in that moment and it requires...
Top dog.
It's like a top dog. You know, the testosterone's running through my nuts. That's essentially what's happening.
Does testosterone run through nuts? Is that how it works?
Well, it's where it's produced. Testicles produce testosterone.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, that's why your testicles get small when you take steroids. Because the testosterone,
because it doesn't need to work,
put in, yeah. It's
I heard someone the other day talk about balding. You know how like people who are balding saying that they've got too much testosterone. I can't remember where it was that I heard this, but they were having a go at bald people just for making up some bullshit reason that they're losing their hair.
Well, from steroids. Yeah.
Basically men who don't have hair, the reason they're bald is because they've got too much testosterone.
You can go bald from taking steroids. I think it is one of the side effects, but I don't know how true that is. That's great.
So the reason why it's funny when I say wolf wolf is because I'm not necessarily, I don't have super masculine qualities. Yeah. So when I say wolf, wolf, it gets a real big laugh.
Yeah. The funny thing, it's like, it's almost using it in the times when it shouldn't be used is really funny too. It's like the old your mum joke that you would have rolled out at primary school. And if you like say it in the most random situation, or that, you know, the old one that probably isn't used anymore, is that that's what she said.
I mentioned it how a friend from overseas said that he'd still been using that's what she, it was actually a relative of mine from the Netherlands. He came over to our place in sort of, you know, 2010 or whatever, when that's what she said was really, you know, shit hot and everyone was saying it. Yeah. And he still says it as a thing, as if it's still okay. It's still a thing.
Yeah. So
that's the origins.
Where did you get it
from? Can I just quickly? Well, I just made it up. I think it was just because I was vibing off you. It actually just sort of came out of me.
Yeah, but do you think you heard it somewhere? Because, I mean, it's, you always hear those stories of people who say they made something up. My mate.
You're saying I'm a liar.
I'm not saying you're a liar, but I'm saying that you may have heard it somewhere. You may have heard someone going, fuck, that was pretty good. Or you just stored it and then you reeled it out. And then said, well, yeah. I mean, we'll claim it. We'll trademark it.
Yeah.
We'll patent it if we can somehow. And we'll get a jumper with it written on it. Woof, woof.
Talking about the patents, I also posted in our subreddit about the makers of Play-Doh.
Oh, yeah. That
did you see this?
That awful shit that goes everywhere in households.
Do you have Play-Doh for Bodhi yet?
No, but... I think it's a bit of a thing. Like my friend Charlotte, she's like, fucking get that shit. Don't you ever buy that shit for me, because it goes everywhere in the house. There is like safer Play-Dohs that are like really easy to get out of things, but some of them like melt into carpet and just absolute horrible. But yeah, I used to play with Play-Doh as a kid, and then kids are making it slime. I'm closer to having Play-Doh in my house than you are. Let's just say that much.
Yeah. Well, this is a sort of household I was in growing up. My dad hated balloons. If we went to a party and brought back balloons, we could basically guarantee that he was going to have a meltdown. He couldn't handle it.
Why? What is it? The latex, the rubber, or?
Yeah, no, he couldn't handle the mucking around. I guess three boys all hitting him and stuff.
Yeah,
just couldn't handle it.
Funny, that is funny.
Gave him the shits. But anyway, so Play-Doh. The makers of Play-Doh, who are called Hasbro, which is a cool name, I guess, they've trademarked the smell.
What?
Yeah.
How do you trademark a smell? And like, I can picture the smell though of Play-Doh. So it is
How would you describe the smell? And we'll see how in line it is with what they've included in the trademark.
All right. It's
you can't say Play-Doh-y.
No. Well, that would be the descriptive word. Yeah,
be on point.
God, there is like, it's hard. It's so hard. This is a hard one to explain. I mean, I'd say this is definitely what they wouldn't say is it smells slightly chemically, but there's undertones of like baking.
This is my favorite segment, by powder. The way, that we've ever done on the Daily Talk Show. Is baking, you describing what you think.
Baking soda,
baking powder
smell. Okay. I couldn't even. I don't know the descriptive words. Can you please read it out?
So it's a sweet, slightly musky, vanilla-like fragrance with slight overtones of cherry and the natural smell of salted wheat-based dough.
All right, mate. Fucking
yeah, they've overbaked that.
Jeez, got tickets on your smell.
I mean, that's what it. I mean, I don't even know. Like, how can they even enforce this?
That's ridiculous. And I don't think there would be a... Like, that's one... Do you reckon that there is a massive team meeting? Like, guys, let's flesh out this smell and then we'll go and get that trademarked or patented. Yeah.
Well, they've probably thought about... They've probably been under attack with... things like what was the shit that you were talking about just before? Like not Play-Doh, the stuff that's sort of like Play-Doh? It's like a gluey substance that slime, people are like using? Slime.
There's a whole bunch of new ones.
Play-Doh are under attack by slime. So they're probably like, we need to make sure that we have a foothold on this. And so they're trying to trademark every bit of it.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. There's a product that's like sand, but it sticks together and it's actually quite cool. The toys that are coming out now are ridiculous. There are so many. We've actually just done a massive cull on Bodhi's toys. Because the reality is, whatever you've got there is what he'll play with. And so if you just got less, he doesn't know the difference yet. And so it's for our household. We don't need a bunch of shit in our small two-bedroom apartment. But that is bizarre.
The smell, I don't actually ever remember owning the real deal. I remember making it with the food coloring and shit like that, but I don't actually remember ever owning the tubs of real Play-Doh.
Yeah, well, you'd call it. So this is the cut through that their company's had. It's the Kleenex of the tissue world. It's the Hoover of the vacuum world. The Play-Doh, people referred to creating that stuff, that smushy stuff. Let's make some Play-Doh. Well, no, you're not, because you're not making it cherry scented with some undertones of bullshit coming through.
Exactly. It's like, even though when I'm searching on Bing, I still say I'm Googling.
Do you actually search on Bing? What the fuck is Bing?
Bing is still a thing. But the Bing is still a thing. That will be the title of today's episode. But the I actually saw, I get like an industry rundown of different things, like search, marketing, and there was a whole thing on what Bing was doing at the moment. So it's amazing to think that there's still people who would obviously use Bing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it probably cost a lot of money to keep running. What's Bing worth? That's my favorite go-to. What's Bing worth? What's your guess?
a lot. A billion dollars. There you go. Woof, woof. No, I think probably, woof, woof. Bad example. Woof, woof should not have been used there. The only reason I used woof, woof in that context was I was thinking that I was just chucking it out there. And it seemed like a blokey thing to do, which is just fucking chucking out facts when you don't have any clue. what is it worth?
According to this site, I don't know how much credibility this site has. Bing.com is worth $3.2 billion. Holy shit.
Yeah, sounds right. The thing is that it's just like it's owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, here we go. PowerSet, the company who created Bing, was bought by Microsoft for $100 million in 2008. But get this, in 2011, Google paid Mozilla $1 billion to keep Google as the default search engine for Firefox for at least another year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So much money.
It's insane. All these numbers. Well, how about this? Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion.
Wasn't it two billion?
I think it was a bill. You can double check.
Yeah, it was.
I think I heard the other day that the revenue was over $4 billion a year that Instagram's bringing in.
Mm.
So that turned out to be a bloody good investment for Facebook.
They bought WhatsApp for $19 billion.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The funny thing about the guy who created Instagram, he's got like, I thought he'd have way more followers. I thought they'd do something to his algorithm, get his numbers up. But for the dude who invented it.
Well, he's just left. You know that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So
because he couldn't get his followers. Mark put an algorithm out to stop his followers from going up.
No, well, so there's been a bunch of stories. I haven't read into them too much, but essentially it was sort of at the beginning when Facebook were buying all of these companies.
Yeah.
The idea that the companies would work independently with their founders, original founders, to sort of work autonomously and, integrate with Facebook. But it wasn't like Facebook was going to take over the whole thing. But there's been a massive shift and the two Instagram founders have left Facebook apparently because of issues that they've had with Zuckerberg.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, a lot of founders stay on at companies because it's a part of their payout deal for years. I mean, sure, yeah. They probably love the company, but, you know, a lot of people do stay on to keep that money coming in. Kevin is the dude. Man, he was born in 1983. Yeah. So, like, I've heard the stories of how they came up with that and the company it was before, and it's just so interesting. Well,
it started off as like a check-in type of app, and then the other thing too is to consider how far it's gone. Like, if you go as an experiment, go through to my personal Instagram. This is for the listeners. You don't have to do this. You could do it if you want to, and just scroll back to my first post, and you will just see how different Instagram was. Like, every one of the main features with Instagram was adding a border. Oh. Every photo had a border on it.
Cheesy.
It was shot on, because the phone's cameras were so shit, they were sort of more filtered. They were like, they weren't meant to look glossy. They were meant to look almost like a vintage shitty camera.
Yeah. That was the filter. It was like, put the crappy date or something. I don't even know if it was. Yeah. It just threw a bunch of numbers in there.
Yeah.
I've just done it, and I've seen Bodhi multiple times on your Instagram, my son.
Oh, really?
And
giving him a lot of love.
Yeah. What I love thinking, and I know it's probably silly, but I like thinking what I'm doing at the moment, and like thinking about the story that I'd tell if we just got uber successful. Like,
if Facebook Kevin bought the Daily Talk Show.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good sort of filter to run. It's probably
you
a
didn't
bit
laugh
like
then.
It's a bit like dreaming. It's a bit like thinking about what you'll spend your money on when you win Tats Lotto, what your life would look like. Yeah. But it's like, if you think in this moment and what we're doing and grinding away, that story that you tell down the track when I don't know what the success is. This is the thing, right? It's so silly in your head because I haven't actually thought about what that is, but you can get a bit of fun.
It is that thinking. It's the thinking that, I mean, our numbers are growing. We've been like, we're growing every month. We get like about, I worked it out, that's 1.7 new listeners every single episode. So with 280 episodes, or, you know, 284 episodes that we've done, we get over, you know, 320 listeners per episode. And the thing is that like, if you go back to the beginning, when we first started, our first 20 episodes had at the beginning, I think around like 20 downloads per app. We don't have a profile. Like, this is the thing. We don't have any profile. But there's
all right, mate. Speak to yourself. I was on the project last week. Jesus, I've made it.
but it's amazing. Like, Jem Watts, who I love following, and she does like she's very sort of like beauty focused and all that sort of thing. She started a podcast, and I'll link it up on Reddit. But she's like smashing it already. The amount of people who are engaging, like, podcasting is so good for people who have an existing audience.
Yeah.
And that's probably like one of the interesting things with us, is it's like, we have to play a bit of a different game, because it's just like, we literally, we're building on the podcast as our first thing, versus most people are bloggers or YouTubers or Instagrammers or, you know, entrepreneurs, and then they're doing a podcast.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the danger of that is, the quality of podcasts for anyone who just starts a podcast is just that, new to podcasting. And so there is that instant audience at a time when you haven't polished up your skills. Yeah. And I'm not talking.
Yeah, there's definitely, I've seen in the past, people have underestimated, like, Gemma's a great example of someone who's like, she put so much, you can hear the effort that she put into hers. Mm. But there's examples where it's like, people have gone guns blazing with it and really confident, but it sort of, it hasn't translated from the thing that they were doing before. But the good thing is that we know that we probably sounding shit now, but we were sounding worse like 100 yeah. episodes ago.
Yeah.
But by building slowly, we're able to like get better with the audience, which I think is exciting.
Yeah, there's so many learnings. Like even doing this across countries over Skype is, you know, build. I feel like we've got good after how many. We should have worked out today how many actual episodes we've done since being remote. Since you've been,
I think
overseas.
It's around. It's about like 75.
Yeah, which the crazy
so
thing is
so nearly half.
That's nearly half of the episodes we've done. So we've spent. That's crazy, and 100%. There's like it is so. This has been so challenging. But not so rewarding. It's like, but so rewarding at the same time. So challenging. It doesn't feel like it's just all bad or all sort of uncomfortable learnings. But yeah, you definitely get better.
The other unique thing is being daily for us. Like it's that makes it a bit of a different ball game too. Like the fact that every single day having a conversation versus I think if we were doing this once a week. Like I think I would probably overbake so many things. Like I think I would overthink. Like how would I know what to pick if we only had 1 hour every week?
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't. Well, because you...
How would you change it? What do you think the structure would be if we were doing it weekly?
I think you could just... See, this is the thing. I don't think I would do this though. I was thinking, take all your ideas that you have, like what we do, and we put them into the Trello board, and then go through and pick the best. Whereas sometimes we pick the ones that aren't the best because we need to talk about something, but then they are great because of the interaction and banter that we do have. So they kind of so that's
like the
where you,
basic shit can be the best bits of content, right?
Like sometimes we have a whole bunch of stuff that we've outlined that we want to talk about. We don't talk about any of it. And I think we would be very focused on talking about the things we've chosen if we'd taken them from a big list and gone, all right, this is our once a week. So here they are. I think any radio show, and I compare radio show because they do it consistently, you know, 5 days a week, a lot of them. There is a whole bunch of ideas that fall flat. And it's like, you know, for every viral video, there was probably 100 that didn't do well or, you know, a bunch that didn't have the impact. And so, you know, we're not in this is not a game of trying to go viral with each episode. We're just in the game of talking. Fuck, I feel like I'm more sane doing this podcast. Like articulating my thoughts regularly is therapy. It's amazing. And maybe it's because I'm a bloke. Maybe, you know, Amy's always talking about her feelings with, you know, people and everyone. And maybe that helps her. But it's great to get things off your chest, especially woof.
Yeah,
woof.
I think I think the other thing too is the showing up every day, the consistency of it is I think you start to learn a lot about yourself as well because it's like not that I can really use a gym analogy because I haven't spent enough time at the gym, but let's just use it because woof woof. The there we go. Good use of woof woof. But the say if you're doing it say once a week or something like that, I think you can find time throughout the week to be able to feel that vibe, to be able to be like, okay, I'm scripted up, get ready. But doing it every single day, there's probably, you know, a quarter of the time where things might be a bit tough. Like the internet connection, like especially when we're doing it remotely, the internet connection might not be great. I mean, it's 11:15 at night here. I'm in Athens. Less than 24 hours ago, we got a text message saying that our ferry from Paros to Athens was cancelled. All the boats from the island were cancelled. And we had a flight in Athens in a day and a half that to be able to get to New York for us to meet. And so we had to find there was only one flight out of Paros. And we managed to get that flight just before. But all these things that can be happening And I think that you start to be, when you're talking and articulating and communicating for an audience, all of a sudden you start to hear your thought process a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of learning about yourself committing to these things. Yeah. And a lot of your mum learning about you because she listens to the podcast. So my mum says, I've learnt more about you from the podcast than I have from you. Really? Well, she's really? Here.
That's one better than my mum because I don't think she listens to yet.
Well, we should have a listening party for your mum because she's never listened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she hates the voice that I put on for her. But I'll stop. But Wayne Peters emailed us in regard to closing the loop. We talked about the Rubik's Cube t-shirt. He said the character on The Big Bang Theory is Dr. Sheldon Cooper, not Shelton.
Oh, yeah.
So closing that loop.
I'll pull a Trump here. What I meant to say when I said Shelton was Sheldon. I just mispronounced it. It was, slip of the tongue. I'm sorry, Wayne.
Classic. That is that's a woof-woof thing as well, if I've ever heard one.
Sheldon.
So what are you most excited about? So your flight, you're leaving very soon.
Yeah.
What's going in your mind? What have you got to do? What are you worried about? What are you excited about? What's the next 24 hours for
you? It's 6:18 a.m. I got up this morning at just before 5 a.m. and I've come into the office. It's a public holiday here in Melbourne. The grand final's on tomorrow. It's a big time of year. Grand final of the AFL football, Australian Football League. And so it's very much feels like a weekend here, but I'm in at work. No one's here. It's quiet. I've got to do some vacuuming and clean up the office so I can get back to something nice. I'm looking forward to sitting down on the plane and doing a bunch of reading about some of the guests we've got and also editing the final 7-Eleven video, the rabbit hole video.
Yeah, great.
I shot it yesterday. Awesome. And I'm pretty excited about this one. It's probably been my longest YouTube video, but like a long, really sort of thoughtful video as in how I've approached it. So I'm pumped to like have the goal of, all right, I'm on a 14-hour flight to LA and then I'm on a 5-hour flight to New York. So I can 100% finish it and show you the final product when I get to New York. So
yeah, amazing.
I'm looking forward to getting on the plane. I love flying by myself. I love the adventure. Like I love getting on the, I'm challenging myself to only bring carry-on luggage for an 11-day trip.
Yeah, that will be freeing.
So because I've got the connecting flight, a couple of hours layover, but I was like, I don't want to have to go and think about my bag coming out the other side and then trying to take that bullshit. So
yeah.
I've got to pack the gear that I need for the podcast and I'm spending some time with my son and my wife before I go.
Yeah, awesome.
Pumped.
Yeah, perfect. No, I think it feels like an exciting time. This, I'm super pumped for the US. I think that it's going to be, even if nothing massive comes out of it, I think like it's, I see it as like a massive milestone for what we're doing. And I know that it's going to be one of those things that we look back at. It's like, how fucking cool was it that we, like, with no real financial reward, went and did the thing that we wanted to do?
Yeah. You know what? It's the trip that I did in 2012, suck on that Jules Lund. It sounds like I'm just dissing Jules Lund, but that's what the whole web series was about. YouTube it. It was this. We spent a bunch of money going on a holiday to create content. And it makes no sense in the time, but it makes so much sense when, in the future, because you look back and go, people we met, like it's not, you don't approach it with that in, like as much as we just verbalize that it's like, we will get something from it. But there's also, there's no promises for anything in this space. So
yeah,
it is just a great, it's a show of commitment to what you're doing. It's like, this is the equivalent of someone going away to spend, 2 weeks writing a book or painting on, canvas and trying to create something awesome. And this is what we're doing. We're going away, just working, giving it a crack and mixing it up and committing to what this process that we have been on for the last 183 episodes.
And the awesome thing is that we're doing it as we go. So everyone's going to be able to follow along and be able to, like, I'm excited that we still have things to share and that we can, we're going to have so much to post while we're away as well.
Yeah. I was just thinking the daily vlogging scene, maybe it's all about having the daily talk show. It's like a podcast a day. It's like people following along people's lives through.
Yeah. Podcasts. Well, I think that I think there's like a massive connection with that too, right? Mm. I think that I love the audio form. Like I think that podcasting has shone a spotlight on it, but I think it's just only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the thing that, like, I know that in 5 years' time, there's going to be so many more podcasts just like this doing this sort of thing, because there already is radio shows just like this, but it's the difference with podcasting is you can do it on your terms. You can be a niche. Yeah. You don't have to be a mainstream. We don't need to appeal to everyone. We can have our small audience and have fun with it. And I was I was thinking about that with the guests that we've got coming on. It's like you can get a bit sort of highly strung about asking the right questions and using the time that you have. And I'm just like, at the end of the day, we want our guests to have a great time. We want to have great time. And we want that to also be reflected, you know, to our audience as well, and for them to feel great.
Yeah. I heard a good perspective on the audio format, so podcasts versus writing, so written pieces. And written pieces are read by the viewer, or the reader, and they're basically your words are their voice in their head, because they're repeating the words you've written, but it's in their voice. So they've got, you know, their baggage or their thoughts or, you know, their tone to what you were writing, even though you try and dictate that. But audio and podcasting is your voice and your words, so it has a greater impact.
I think Seth Godin spoke about that with James Altucher.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. I love that thought, because it's like you're totally right. I mean, I'm reading someone's bio and it's like, you know, I'm reading my inflections and my bullshit that's going on in my head at that moment. Whereas if you're listening intently to someone speaking, you're just processing the words that are coming to you with, you know, the tone that they're delivering it in. So it's a super powerful format. As much as I love video, I think that's why, you know, video is so powerful, because it's got
it combines all those visual elements.
There's so many things going on. But audio is pretty personal, especially podcasting.
Yeah, there's an intimacy.
Thanks for letting us in your ears.
The fact that, yeah, exactly. We're in your ears right now. You might be walking, driving. You might be just getting ready for the day, or maybe it's Friday night and you're just having a chill night and you're in bed. Whatever it is, we're glad that you listen. It's a daily talk show. It's Friday. In less than 3 days' time, on Monday, we'll be coming to you live from New York City for episode one of our US tour. Feel free to send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, if you've got any suggestions on what we should be doing while we're in the States, if there's people we should be talking to, or also if you want to extend that conversation between just us to everyone who listens, visit our Reddit, which is reddit.com/r/thedailytalkshow. I would love for that to be a destination for us to just have great banter and share awesome shit.
It's already happening.
Really cool.
So get involved.
Yeah. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. We'll see you Monday. Catch ya.
See you guys.